and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. What we're going to be talking about tonight is orphans.
Amen.
You know, it's so amazing that he signs when you're contemplating what to speak about or what to talk to God's people about, that he will wake you up in the middle of a deep sleep.
Amen.
And this morning about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, I heard my name, Freddie. And, you know, the guy that preached about Samuel when he said, "Your servant hear you, Lord, you speak."
Yes.
So I said, "Father, your servant hears you, you speak." And this is what he took me to. In John the 14th chapter, verses 18 through 20, and the Message Bible says, "I will not leave you orphans. I'm coming back to just a little while. The world will no longer see me. But you're going to see me because I am alive and you are about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you." The King James Version said, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you." What's the primary definition of an orphan? Is a child whose parents are dead, a bereaved child. Various groups use other definitions to identify orphans. At times have changed and demands expanded definitions for a greater accuracy. For instance, one legal definition used in the United States says abandonment, desertion, separation, or loss from both parents. Mother Teresa of Calcutta hit the nail on the head when she said, "I have come to realize more and more that the greatest disease and the greatest suffering is to be unwanted."
Yes.
Unloved.
Yes.
Uncared for. To be shunned by everybody.
Amen.
To be just nobody to no one. Mm. Wow, can you imagine that?
Wow.
To be nobody to no one. To be shunned by everybody. Most of us know someone, or even ourselves, who have felt that way. If we were or not had time, but we had time to poll the whole Christianity, the effects of Adam's decision continues to be, unfortunately, far-reaching. The number of spiritual orphans may be just as astounding as the number of children naturally orphaned. The problem is averted to what Jesus said to the apostles before his death. "I will not leave you orphaned for comfort. I will come to you." Many of God's children in the current dispensation have no sense of spiritual parentage or heritage.
That's right.
Therefore, qualifying them to bear the orphan spirit. Yes, they truly need Jesus to come to them in the form of a spiritual parent. They are moving about the kingdom, but many times absent of sense of belonging or clear family purpose. How many people do we really see walking around?
Yes.
In the kingdom, that's totally absent or belonging.
Yeah.
Or have no true purpose for family. You know, I really wonder, Are we holding up to our obligation?
Yes.
Although free of familiar obligations, the freedom deprived them of more inspirational lives developed by being a member of a family and the structure provided by parents. Not natural parents, but spiritual parents. The death of a spiritual parent, whether through the natural process of or disconnection, is the fundamental reason for the orphan situation, although not entirely. The concept I'm using of death is separation. When spiritual parents transition to the heaven, the children are left behind on earth. The transition for those left behind can be traumatic. And if certain provisions are in place for ministry succession, there are several outstanding models of doing it correctly in the scripture. One of the greatest examples is Moses to Joshua, how that God passed on the baton from one person to the other, Elijah to Elisha, Jesus to his disciples, and Paul to Timothy. And in all times, a great teacher that I've heard so much about, who I wish I had met, a man named Charlton, and how that he nurtured Brother David and passed on everything that was in him to Brother David, one of the great teachers of all time. Trouble can be avoided sometimes, what by defying and approving the newly appointed leader from God. When this is done, there seems to be a greater plea in the transition of the previous leadership and less opportunity for confusion in the people left behind. In most cases, the Lord manifests the new leader before the family and promises his presence with him. This has a common effect, especially if the previous leader was effective spiritual leader and parent. It is very clear why Jesus took much time explaining about the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would be our counselor, who would be our comforter. And if you want to run into some real problems, deal with the church people who don't have the Holy Spirit prevalent in their life, but just church members.
Yes.
You got a real problem, whether you know it or not.
That's right.
As the new guide to the apostles, beginning in John 14, he had taken them through a rigorous discipleship training process and had modeled an unparalleled example of the kingdom. Now it was time for him to leave. And he didn't desire to leave them shattered and insecure. They were struggling mighty with the idea of Jesus' departure. Jesus was a leader par excellence and covered all the necessary bases before he left. Do we as leaders really cover all the necessary bases and prepare the next generation for leadership?
Amen. That's good. That's right.
Do we really do that? No. Another issue today is the omnipresence of denominationalism and the harsh effects of the institutionalized church. When I speak of the institutionalized church, I'm speaking of that of structure controlled by men and not God.
Yes.
Have you ever dealt with a structure of a church that was controlled solely by men and not by God?
Yes.
And if you think you're not, then you're going to wind up with a discipline, or you're going to wind up with bylaws or something.
Yep.
And the majority of the time, that is not God's way.
Yes.
That is man's laws that they have voted on.
Yeah.
And now implemented. And you know what they told you? If you're going to be a member here, you're going to baptize.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you really think that is the way of God? I don't see this system accomplishing God's purpose, which is qualifying sons for dominion on the earth. How does one qualify sons for dominion when you are constantly teaching them about going to heaven for eternity?
Hmm.
You ever notice? Everybody preaching about going to heaven.
Yeah.
I got a mom over there, I got a daddy over there, you know, I'm going to die and go to heaven. Well, God told Adam to have dominion on earth.
Yes, that's right.
So have you really done what God has called you to do by having dominion here? You're concerned about going up there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The institutionalized church promotes a concept of training clergy and semi-training laity, and at the best, somewhat, they train a little bit of kingdom business.
Yes, yes, that's right.
I mean, let's be real. The semi-training clergy, and then semi-trained lives, and we wonder why we got a jacked world.
Hmm.
We wonder why we got a world in this. And you know what the sad thing is? We're buying into those systems.
Amen.
The reason is twofold. The technologies in place prevent believers from maturing as sons, as king and priests, on a particular level, with the goal of assuming leadership responsibilities. How can you become a leader when you don't even know how to be a son?
Wow. That's right.
You know, so many times we want responsibility or we want leadership positions, but we truly have never become sons and daughters. The one thing about a son or a daughter, they hear the father's voice.
Amen. That's right.
And they obey the father.
That's good.
How many of these church people really today want to obey leadership?
Hmm.
Or want to obey the one that's hearing from the father?
Hmm. Wow. Amen.
Too much emphasis is placed on the hereafter. You know, I really get disturbed when I see Christians that their whole concern is just repenting and repenting and repenting to make sure that they make it in.
Yeah.
But never, never come to maturity and do the mandate that God has demanded us to do in earth. When we really look at our lives, are we holding up to God's mandate?
Hmm. That's good.
And His mandate is dominion. And that was the first thing that He said to man in the book of Genesis. He gave him dominion. Well, I got a question for you. When did he ever take it back?
Didn't. That's right.
He never took it back. So what are we doing? Also, most denominational systems endorse professionalism rather than being relationship driven. They have stifled the maturity of God's children and fuel the type of complacency and ultimately spiritual abandon it. Men and women are more focused on careers rather than building families. When better opportunities knock at our doors, career-minded people will follow the opportunity so that the more so than the voice of the Lord, even if He's telling them to stay put. The New Testament calls this a hurry. The family they were building becomes a secondary issue. How many times will a pastor, because he's offered a greater position somewhere else or more money, walk away from the church? How many times have we seen, after that happened, the church disintegrated to nothing? This is certainly not the pattern of the scripture. Fathers remain with families until new fathers succeed them. There must be a redeeming factor. Someone must be appointed as the caretaker to call us home and abandon it. If not, the abandoning family simply disintegrates. Whether the appointee or appointees have specific fathering instincts and skills are another story. The thing that helps the people aren't completely forsaken. At any rate, the true bonding has occurred with the previous leader. Many in the family will feel abandoned and deserted, just like it opens. And no matter, they'll feel used and abused. I can give you a perfect example of that. In the AME Zion Church, pastors are appointed for a certain period of time. Brother Bradshaw was at Little Zion for 10 years. The congregation had bonded with this leader. Not only had the congregation, but the whole community. You know, and I might be stepping out on a limb, and I don't care. Because the truth is the truth. That's the only thing that can make me free. Nobody can ever make me believe that that bishop, that God told him to move Brother Bradshaw. Because see, the thing is, when God makes the appointment, it don't disintegrate. When man makes an appointment, then it disintegrates. So who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow man? When are we going to stand up and say enough is enough? When will the church, when will the body of believers stand up and say we're through with institutionalized church? You know what institutionalized church has caused? What you see right here. Home group meetings. Cell group meetings. People wanting to hear the truth. Who are no longer concerned about being a part of a denomination that mama, daddy, or grandmama, all of them used to be a part of. But their soul desires to hear the truth. You know, and it's so sad that when these things happen, it frightens not only the core believers, but it frightens the community. And then a leader in the community is gone. How many times have we really prayed to God and asked Him to keep us leaders here? Or do we just say, okay, we'll go along with the system? The third reason for spiritual orphans is related to the previous two. When physical death or abandonment has occurred, people may take ill-advised liberties they possibly shouldn't. Many may become mobile or leave without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, telling them what to do and where to go. You know, so many people tell you, well, the Lord told me to go here, or the Lord told me to go here.
Amen.
Beware of church hoppers.
Because
they will hop right in and stir up something, and next thing you know, they are gone. And it's so sad. Because of our democratic society, people sometimes stray from a natural and spiritual family to their own temporary demise. The scripture describes these as spiritual, as the spirit of wandering. Proverbs 27:8 said, a person who strays from his home is like a bird that strays from its nest.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you ever stray from your home?
Yeah. I have.
Is your
Yeah.
How many times do we stray and go instead of something else that winds up being a bigger mess than what you came from? To counteract the consequences of fatherness, it will require consent of careful and thoughtful spiritual groundbreaking. Without targeting groundwork and discipleship development, irrelevant church relationships are established with very little of the purpose of God's understanding or accomplishment. When this happens, we tend to build institutions rather than lasting, flourishing churches.
Amen.
These institutions become more complacent with modern society. Concepts of church and congregationalism, they are agnostic to the ancient agenda of building sons.
Amen.
How many congregations is really building sons? You know, really, are really building sons to be sons here in the earth, to continue to do the will of the Father. Are we building sons?
Amen.
Consequently, we have nothing more than a spiritual orphanage appearing to be a church. We must make a radical turn in this new season of reformation. If not, in less than 30 or 40 years, there will be millions and millions of spiritual orphans suffering the lethal reality of being unloved, uncared for, unwanted. They will also have a sterile sense of Father God's purpose for humanity. When we look at our children today, do they truly have a true sense of purpose for what God wants to do here in this earth?
Amen.
He called for Brother David, for this brother here, to be a king and a priest. So what the kings and priests make, they make her the king and the priest. What the kings and priests do, they have dominion and they minister to the Father. And then what do? They train the next generation
to do
the same thing. What have we done with our next generation? Have we really trained them? Number one, if you notice, the New Testament and the New Old and Old Testament both, they spoke so much about orphans,
about making sure that you take care of all the widows and the orphans.
Right.
It constantly in the New Testament, it tells you to take care of the widows and the orphans.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought he was talking about them people in the church with you that were lost?
Wow.
That didn't know the way?
Yes.
Have you ever thought that's who he was talking to? He was talking about more than the natural orphans.
Amen.
He was talking about the spiritual orphans.
That's good.
That we really look, we see so many people that say they got church hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're broken in church.
Mm.
You know what the problem is? They're orphans.
Yeah.
And you know what? An orphan will never do what the Father tells him to do.
Amen.
Unless he's restored as a son or as a daughter.
Mm.
Are we in the restoration business?
Yes, that's good.
Or are we going to keep on tearing down every generation?
Mm.
Are you more concerned about going to heaven or the hereafter? Or are you more concerned about the next generation? The ones that your grandchildren live in and your great grandchildren.
Yeah.
Are you concerned enough about that generation that it becomes more important to you than to allow Father God to pour everything that He has into you that you can pour it into them?
Amen. That's good.
Is that really a concern about us? We get more caught up in the daily news and politics.
Yeah.
Who's running for Senate? None of that doesn't matter. Because you know why? God said, if I take care of the sparrow, do you not think I'm going to take care of you?
Yes.
Isn't the sparrow more important? Then why don't we have enough of the Father in us that we will make sure that we will not leave the next generation fatherless?
Amen.
The whole entire structure of the family. What did Jesus do? When he ascended back to the Father, he made sure that he didn't leave his disciples fatherless because he left the Holy Spirit. He sent it back.
Yes.
The thing is, do we really teach our children? Do we really train them? Do we really explain how important it is that they get it right?
Amen.
I know what we say. We say, oh, we'll train them while they're young. Because Proverbs said, when they get old, they'll come back.
Yeah.
Well, how many times are we going to allow them to suffer through their trials? See, I can tell you, I suffered. I lived a life of pure hell. I suffered. You know one of the greatest things that happened to me? All of the sufferings that I went through can't be compared to the relationship that I have with the Father now.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
None of it can be compared.
Amen.
I remember Pastor Pellaway reminded me of something Sunday. He said, you know, y'all wasn't there, but I was with him when the judge gave him 40 years.
Mm.
But then God delivered me.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and the thing is, and then when I was contemplating, Lord, where should I go with ministry? You know, I had been prone by the AME Zion Church to become a pastor and all of that. But that is not what God wanted.
Amen.
And it was listening to the voice of the Lord. He said, I'm sending you right back to the same people who you should be with.
Mm.
And to give them the truth.
Wow. Amen.
Because, you know what? If I would have had done the mandatory time, I would have just got released of April of this past year.
Wow.
Because I had done 24 years.
Sure.
But you know what? Before my release date came, several years before that, God sent me back to prison to tell them
you know what? Ain't nothing good about me. I've done the same things every one of you have done.
Amen.
The word said to give God praise. How many times do you truly tell your story? Most of us are ashamed of our story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't want nobody to know.
Yes,
we think that we always been walking around with that pretty crown and that collar on and that we were never in the gutter.
Yeah.
We didn't never commit adultery. We didn't never do every sin under the book.
Yeah.
But the thing is, have you ever thought that these young people would listen to you if you shared your life story?
Yeah, that's right.
We want to be.
I do.
Most of us want.
Mm.
And then we expect them to listen to us when we stand up and give the word of God. Mm. And believe it.
Yes.
When they know that your story is just as bad as theirs.
Amen. That's the truth.
When will we, as fathers and as mothers, truly make sons and daughters? When will we pour into them everything that God has? When will you get up early?
Hmm.
Spend some time with the Lord.
Amen.
Without him having to kick you out of bed like he did me this morning. The thing is, are we going to be a voice?
Yes.
In this period of reformation, or are we going to sit back and say nothing?
Amen. It's good.
The Bible says that creation is moaning and groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Yes.
What are we going to do? God bless you. I love you. It might not sound it like it, but I do. And I thank Brother David Saul for the opportunity to just allow me a floor mat, him and Sister Karen, in their house, and trusted me enough to speak a word to the people that come together in his house. God bless you. I love you, Pastor Saul.
Amen. 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 Amen.